Middle Cough!
Hey, behave!
This podcast and show is sponsored by our friends at Tito's Handmade Vodka. Recording this podcast on a Sunday night, Middle Cough. It's been a great weekend. You might hear Middle Cough's throat, his voice, a little deeper than usual today. It's because him and his buddy John Daly had a good Saturday.
Yeah, you know, the John Daly's don't give me. I mixed a little beer in there, too, at a late night. You know, just befriended this guy named John Party, country music star. I think he liked my brother more than me, but we had a late one, and it was fun. Led by Tito's. I Instagrammed. Did you see that thing I Instagrammed? The dude flipping Tito's bottles, pouring cocktails.
No.
It was incredible. He was on fire. So I told him to do it and I Instagrammed it. Tito's, I'm swear guy. So probably 3,000 people at this party, Valley party. So, you know, you got a lot of farmers. When you think farmers, you think like beer and whiskey. Tito's everywhere. People, everywhere I looked, people having Tito's cocktails, Tito's sodas. I ran into my cousin. He went with a Tito's and Diet Pepsi. It adds a little flavor. He had me try it. I was like, not bad. This guy was talented.
This is a bartender.
This guy was talented. Every ran into Tyler Bray, NFL player. He was drinking Tito's. Bo Sweeney, friend of the show, listener of the show. Same with his friend. So if you're listening, his dad, legendary Fresno State player. He played at Cal and in the Ivy Leagues.
Clovis West.
Tito's.
Clovis West, is there an eagle in the house? Was that? Yeah, you guys kept sending us those.
I remember you telling me you went to the wedding. Whenever you go to these things and you were so like, it's inundated with Tito's, it really is like, God, it is everywhere.
Everywhere.
I'm dead serious.
Yes, it is everywhere. Like, we already knew it. It's the number one vodka in America. And you go somewhere and people are making sure that they are getting Tito's and not something else. And we go, hey, it's awesome to see. It's great to have Tito's on board. And for those of you that don't know, we've had some people reach out that didn't know. Now, you know, if you go to the Tito's website, by the way, they got all kinds of spooktacular cocktails to mix it up this Halloween. But we like to go with the John Daly. Very, very, very simple, John. But so many great options. Tito's is better. It's better, John. 6 times distilled in copper pots, not columns, more labor intensive. But Tito himself knows it's better. Distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly. Keep sending us pictures of you enjoying your Tito's. Podcast also brought to you by mybookie.ag.
You're hot.
Promo code ham and the number one. Well, we're now
on fire.
The ham lock of the week has won 4 in a row after the Niners got that week one Lions push and something else happened week two. We have won 4 in a row with the lock of the week where we make the lock of the week. It's $300 per week that we're doing on the lock of the week. We do it at mybookie.ag, promo code ham and the number one. Don't forget, you can use ham one. You can decline the bonus if you so choose because you do have to bet the full amount that you get from the deposit and the bonus. If you accept that bonus before you withdraw funds, or you can decline the bonus, but either way, ham one, let them know that we sent you.
Yeah, mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1. Pretty good. I didn't realize you kind of tipped me off to it. Monday Night Football is a really good game. Bills Titans in Tennessee. Bills -6 on the road. Like, that's, you know, I kind of like the Titans in that spot +6, but I don't know quite the injury status. I know Julio and AJ have missed some time, but if those two guys are playing, that's a really good Monday night game. Mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1. That's where you should make your bet on Monday Night Football if you want to gamble on Monday Night Football, which, you know, statistics show that a lot of people bet these standalone games. So get on it.
And John, I'm pretty sure the Thursday night game is okay. It's Broncos Browns. I take it back. So if you want to get engaged in that game, mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1 is a good way to get into Browns Broncos. John, that's a good
so
way
the
to
Browns, that's a big game for those two teams. I mean, both of them are kind of falling apart right now.
Yeah, I mean, a bigger game, I think, for the Browns because I think they might actually be good. The Broncos aren't going anywhere.
No. It looked like Baker with torn labrum, thought he like re-ripped his entire shoulder, but then he came right back. Tough little guy.
Are people going to be able to avoid comparing Baker Mayfield and Sam Howell? Sam Howell tried to fight somebody. I saw some highlight for the North Carolina game. He's like shoving somebody around. Like, this guy is just doing a bit. He looks like Baker. He's a little shorter like Baker. He's got the face like Baker. He's got the muscle.
Not even close to as good as Baker, though.
Not even close to as good as Baker.
Did Miami win that game?
I'm pretty sure Miami lost that game. Let me check the scoreboard here. But
I thought they lost too. Because I saw a bunch of, you know, you just follow enough people on Twitter, you get a retweet from one of their famous NFL alumni, like, I'm tired of this shit. You know, it'd be like Michael Irvin out of left field, or it'd be like Ed Reed, like, this wasn't acceptable in my heyday.
That's how Clay Helton got fired, right? Keyshawn had enough.
Yeah, you get some of these guys that, like, they just want to watch their squad on Saturday ball. And when you lose too many games, people flip on you. I remember 2 years ago watching a real sports. I'm pretty sure Manny Diaz's dad is like the mayor of Miami or something like that. And it was like a big deal for him to come back, the culture, his dad, the family roots. It's not going well.
No, it's not. All right, John, here's who it's going well for. All of a sudden, a lot of people in the chat, are hot on the Raiders. We made the Raiders our lock of the week this week. Full disclosure, if you missed the show the other day, I wouldn't say we were overly confident, but part of it was we just wanted to root for them given everything they've been through. They were underdogs. They won. They dominated. And it was quite an impressive display, not just of football, but I think you'd have to say also of leadership given what happened with John Gruden and that he's not only their GM and head coach, but their play caller.
Yeah, I would say on the most basic level, they kicked their ass. I mean, they took it to them. And the Broncos, for a team that's, what would you say, 7 wins probably at the end of the day, maybe 6 if Teddy doesn't play that well. But they have a bunch of talent on their team, so it's not a team that you just, you know, they're not the Jacksonville Jags or the Houston Texans, right? I mean, they're a team that if you play well and do what the Raiders just did, it was the final score, they won by 10. That felt more like a 20-point game. The Raiders really kind of executed them in the third quarter. But that to me speaks to this was an all-time situation. It's just an unheard of, an unprecedented situation when you just factor in all the variables from the contract to the individual to the emails to how fast it happened on Monday night. And the one thing the players kept saying was like, you know, we do need to kind of like, there's a lot of season left and they're 3-2. They have good players. But like when I watched all those players talk, we've all watched Derek talk for years. You knew that like he would humanize the situation, but we'll get into the coach in a second, but they're two of their best players. I mean, their best player, Vic Fangio, who is an all-time curmudgeon elite defensive coordinator and is not a guy to heap praise on anybody, told the broadcast crew that he thought Darren Waller is a, and I think this is like goes for non-quarterbacks, a top 10 player in the NFL. Like, that's pretty high praise from a guy that I don't
think. Vic might hate quarterbacks, but yeah.
Yeah, that might include quarterbacks. But like Darren Waller is a recovering drug addict. Max Crosby had an alcohol problem. Like these guys.
Went to rehab last year, 2020, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was when that story came out, I don't think people realized, and even C said, like, what we were dealing with, what I was dealing with individually and not letting people know, like, it was getting out of hand. Yeah. And obviously the Darren Waller, you know, even Waller said, I wouldn't be on this team if it wasn't for Gruden. Both those two guys felt like Gruden favorites, clearly. I mean, Gruden said he was the best player he'd ever coached in Darren Waller. But, like, sometimes if you're a younger guy, and Waller's a little older than Crosby, you just don't have that much perspective on life. Like if you're like 25 years old, you just don't. You have way more 10 years later. You go through so many things. Those guys have pretty unique perspective for just being human beings and then succeeding in their profession, but especially Waller, probably more than Crosby, but Crosby too. And just those guys, like that's a pretty unique setup for your leadership to have like two team captains with that background. And like when they speak and they, you know, especially Darren Waller, I don't think he's a loud talker. When I say loud talker, like he's a very vocal guy, but clearly, like, I think they said that he spoke a lot this week.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really difficult to keep perspective in sports sometimes for everybody, not just the people involved, but the people, all of us, like everything, like how much does it mean, right? People are throwing batteries and bottles of mustard at Lane Kiffin. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of people. Like, I think that's the most, there's 101,000 people at Neyland Stadium where Tennessee plays, right? So 100 people throw something. It's like, these Tennessee fans are nuts. Most of them were I'm guessing didn't bring mustard and weren't throwing golf balls at Lane Kiffin, right? The vast majority of them.
Did a golf ball get thrown on the field?
A golf ball got thrown. Bottle of mustard got thrown. Several things got thrown. But, you know, there's been a lot of reaction about how awful Tennessee fans are, which whatever, I don't know. But I only bring it up to say that I think we're constantly in sports trying to put things in perspective. And it might be as simple as, like, you know, the conversations we have about things that are happening on the field. Those are easy. Like, how good is this player relative to this player? How good is this season? How bad is this season relative to expectations? But when it's really real and it's uncomfortable and it's awkward and you've got a job to do and you don't even know, I would imagine, like, I think you saw it with Derek. I'd imagine it was the case with a lot of people, maybe in the building. Maybe some people just go, no, not hard for me. I hated John. But conflicted on the inside. Like, what do I feel right now? Do I go, yeah, this guy's a piece of shit? Do I go, no, I love them? But then people say, how could you love? What do I do? What do I say? And how do I feel? Forget about what I say publicly. Just how am I supposed to feel right now? I don't know. And then, you know, the dynamic with Carl Nassib, you heard them on the broadcast say they requested to talk to him, the TV crew, Saturday night. He declined. I don't blame him. Like, how do I feel? What do I want to say? Everyone, the second he says something, is going to look to him for, like, here's Carl Nassib's words. Lead us. Like, he might not know. I have no idea what he feels.
You imagine with Carl Nassib this week, it wasn't just that, like, hey, could ESPN get a sit down? It was like, hey, could CNN get a sit down? Hey, the Biden-Harris administration has a representative that wants to talk to you. Hey, Jesse Jackson's on the phone. Like, who knows? People coming. And he's like, listen, man, like, I didn't create this story, right? I feel really bad for him that he is getting put. And hopefully it's not going to blow over because the elephant in the room with Gruden's not going to go away. And given that, you know, he's the first openly gay, I guess he's not, huh? Because Michael Sam was drafted.
Sam. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's one of the first.
I think is he the first player to come out while in the NFL?
Remember Michael Sam came out while he was in college?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's clearly one of the first, but it's just a tough spot. And that's where going back to having those two guys with some pretty unique perspective and then getting a head coach. You know, sometimes the interim head coach, it is a tough spot, right? Like, who do you put up? You know, do you just elevate one of your OCs or DCs? Do you just, the special teams coach, they always say, like, that's the most logical one. He knows all the guys. You know, and it makes sense because they deal with offensive and defensive guys. They have,
and in theory, have some time on their hands.
They definitely have some time on their hands. And they're usually, I guess not usually, every coach is different. So, you know, this guy seems like a really high-level guy. I saw Portnoy tweeted something out that Booger McFarland told the Pardon My Take guys, you know, he played at Tampa for a long time. And I Googled during the game. I was like, where did Rich coach? And I didn't realize that he worked so long with John Gruden, like all those years in Tampa. And then when he got fired, he even stayed in Tampa after John left. He ended up with Jason Garrett. And then he left Jason Garrett to come with John. Like, I think him and John are very, very close. Like, really, really tight. Obviously, they have a very, very good working relationship. I mean, this guy was the assistant head coach, but he's an older guy. And I do think sometimes in this situation, like, back to Waller, and like, having perspective, having age on your side, been through a lot, puts him in a position to, and he's lucky, right? He has a defensive coordinator who is clearly pretty good, like Gus Bradley, right? His offensive coordinator has worked with Gruden for so long, and Derek, like, those guys together, that's where Derek's, you know, like, the offense between those two guys, like, they should be able to throw together game plans, right?
Yeah, Derek. If he had to, Derek could probably call a game, right?
And I bet even when Gruden was there, Derek was playing a pretty big role. All veteran quarterbacks who are any good play a big role in the game plan. I would imagine Derek's role is going to grow, which is a good, like, he's been in the league and running football. That's not an issue for Derek, like, knowing football and knowing, you know, tendencies and studying. So Rich can kind of just be, I don't know, in this weird way, like a father figure to all these guys in a positive leadership standpoint. And, you know, he's equipped. You and I were kind of bullshitting about this during the game. I was like, has an interim coach, because most times an interim coach takes over, it's a disaster, right? And even when it's not a true disaster, the moment you fire the coach, it gets weird. And a lot of times it happens closer to the end of the season. But this has to be the greatest interim job ever was Bruce Arians when he took over for you know, when Chuck got Pagano. Sick. And it turns out, like, that was an enlightening moment to let us realize Bruce Arians a big boy coach. And if the Colts could do that over, they would have just, like, elevated Bruce to the head coach and let Chuck be, like, the assistant head coach, right? If they could do that over, knowing what they know now, he would have been the head coach.
And I think he lost to the Jets 35-9 in his first game in for Chuck Pagano.
Arians?
Yeah, because he went 9-3, right? Which means they were 2-2 before he took over. I'm just looking back at that season.
Yeah.
Their fifth game was a loss to the Jets. So if they were 2-2.
He rallied the troops after that, but it changed his career.
Yeah.
But he was part of it.
Same age, like, John. He was 60 years old. I think Richie B is 61. So about the same age. Now different, right, in terms of their role on a team.
Obviously, they had a rookie quarterback, but that rookie quarterback was not a normal rookie quarterback. Turns out he's like one of the great prospects in the history of sports. And they made the playoffs. Like, this team, for an interim head coach who gets to take over week 6, which is kind of unheard of, for a team with a winning record, I think he has a good chance to be pretty good. Like, I watch them today and go, how are they not going to go 10-7 if Derek can just stay healthy? Like, they should win double-digit games.
Yeah, I mean, and they should be a playoff team. Now, it's hard to say should in the AFC, because I think the AFC is pretty good. Like, at this moment in time, you've got Cleveland and Kansas City, and now also Cincinnati's 4-2.
The Chiefs raise their hand, like, we're not quite dead yet.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, Cleveland and Kansas City are teams that are not in. Cincinnati is a team that is in at this moment in time.
Raiders did beat Cleveland, Denver, remember, last year. Kind of punked them in Cleveland. Remember that? I know they missed the playoffs, but like
I'm just saying, I think if you look at the AFC standings right now, there are teams that are in that won't be and teams that aren't that should be. But
yeah, like they have a game lead on Kansas City, but they haven't played them yet.
But there's just a lot. Denver, you know, offensively is like, they're just not a playoff team, but that's okay. You took care of business today. You kicked their ass. Like, they didn't squeak by. Right.
On the road after your coach got fired.
Yes. Like, in a really dramatic, messy way. So, yeah, they do have a unique set of leadership people, right? I like Bisaccia try to tell his wife not to come. He's like, no, don't come. She's like, I would just imagine when they showed her thinking, like, the hell, I'm not coming. I come to the games when you're the special teams coach. You think I'm not coming when you're the head coach? Yeah. Like, I love punters, but I'm coming to this game.
Yeah.
So...
But, guy, if they go 10-7, let's say they make the 7 seed, that would be the second time they made the playoffs in 20 years.
They get an extension.
But don't both guys stay?
Mayock and Richie B, yes. I would think they would have to.
If I was a betting man right now, because I do
Unless
think
Peyton
the Raiders...
Manning wants the job.
Yeah, he doesn't. So
Romo out of the booth, 10 years, 100 million. Aikman.
If I could recommend one thing to Mark, I'd be like, you know, let's just stay away from the $100 million contract. Just give out a 3-year, $12 million deal.
Mark goes like 6 weeks at a time.
For example, though, like they have 2 weeks coming
Quarterly
up now.
Contract. Yeah.
Before they get the Chiefs, Sunday Night Football, actually, in a couple weeks. But Eagles, Giants, like, is it inconceivable? Like, you can never do this in the NFL, but like,
but they're better.
Clearly better than those two teams.
They're better.
Could they be 6-2?
Yeah, they're better than those two teams.
How big would that Chiefs game be if they're 6-2, and hopefully the Chiefs keep winning, and that NBC Sunday night game, Al Chris, in Vegas? Yeah. Remember, that's last year, one of Derek's greatest, I know there were no fans, but it had to be one of his best games of his career. Remember that game against?
Yep.
And Abram blew the coverage, and Travis Kelce walked him off on a touchdown.
Yep.
That is the one thing they have going for them. Is now clearly the Chiefs aren't as good as they've been the last couple of years, though. Like, as long as Mahomes is healthy and those Hill and Kelce are there, the Raiders, the toughest opponent they have in their division. Now, you could say the Chargers also, but who knows? I mean, they still got a ways to go. The Raiders do have confidence playing them because their quarterback and a lot of their players have beat them. I mean, they kicked their ass last year in Kansas City.
Yeah. I wonder if Andy likes beating John more than he would like beating Richie B.
I bet Andy loves Richie B. Feels like his type of guy.
You know, the other thing, there was some discussion in the chat about Ruggs being a bust. You and I have talked about Ruggs a lot over the years and have not called him a bust, but have said they need him to step up. and he has become one of the best big play receivers in the NFL. I don't have the updated numbers after play today, I don't think, but I don't think this includes play today, but he's top eight in the NFL in receptions of 20 yards or more. That list is Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Marquise Brown, Antonio Brown, Cooper Kupp, Mike Gesicki, Deebo Samuel, DJ Moore, Mike Williams, Mark Andrews, Tyreek Hill, Henry Ruggs, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. Like, that's the group of guys.
I like Gesicki, by the way.
And
you kind of made fun of him, but I do like the player. I take him on my team.
But I mean, he's developed. They have. Here's a guy who did not have a great rookie year, who had a lot of pressure on him, both from within his organization and the fact that a bunch of receivers were taken after him, and they were all better than him last year. And it wasn't that he didn't make a play here or there; it's that they weren't even throwing him the football. And now clearly, they trust him to make a ton of plays, and he's been making a ton of plays.
Well, I don't think it was just they were better than him, because obviously Jefferson had a historic season, but he was never in the mix for that pick. I think it was like everyone thought they were going to take CeeDee Lamb, and they went Ruggs instead of CeeDee Lamb, and we all said, well, CeeDee Lamb is the ideal guy Derek wants. And Derek is starting to treat Henry in a different way than CeeDee, though when we were talking earlier, you see he had a walk-off touchdown against the Pats.
I did see that, yes.
Is that
NFC's just
Derek? We've always the analytic nerds always crush Derek for being playing too close to Alex Smith. And it's like, bro, we watched this guy at Fresno State, even some of his moments with Crabtree and Cooper. He wants to just let it rip in man to man coverage. But I think it's probably he's never had success. Now, granted, he's just never played with that type of guy, a smaller player like that. Right. So I wonder if he was just hesitant. Well, this guy's winning 50-50 balls.
He's got a 42-inch vertical.
His vert's insane, and his speed, his play speed is elite. And I think one thing we knew right away, even last year, it's like John Ross, sometimes like that type player, you can just tell right away, like, this is not going to work. Where it didn't quite feel like that with Henry. It's like, you know, every team in the league would take this guy right now. This year, you're starting to see, like, this guy could be, a 75 to 85 catch guy with every game have a top off the cover type play, which is big for Derek because he will throw the ball into one-on-one coverage.
Yeah, take the top off the cover. The ceiling is the roof. And threaten.
Take the cover off the
top.
Yeah, you know what I meant.
Take the top off the defense. But like open things up offensively because it's such a threat. Right, he just like this is what you want a great players to do is they don't just make the plays they make, but they affect the game, and it feels like he affects the game.
Well, like Noah Fant,
yeah,
I think was the 20th pick in the draft, and the thing he like hung his hat on was he was like this 4.3, 4.4, he's hauling ass tight end, and you just got I don't really feel like his place now. It's not all his fault. His quarterback kind of stinks. But like Henry, you feel his speed. Like his speed is lightning. Like he's so fast that if you're not, your timing on your deep ball is not perfect, he has a lot of where he has to come back. And I think that would happen to most quarterbacks unless he like played with Josh Allen. Like there aren't going to be many quarterbacks that are overthrowing Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
Right.
But isn't that part of the beauty of Ruggs too? Is like that he can come back to the ball and make a play. Like that is what makes you.
He actually has good ball skills.
Right. That's what makes you top 10, top 15 type player. Like there are fast guys, but he's a really good receiver when the ball's in the air. Like
well, if the Raiders,
in perfect situations.
If the Raiders didn't take Henry Ruggs at whatever, they took him at 11, I think, 11 or 12, there is a chance that he wouldn't have gone till the 20s. Like I don't think he was a lock to go in the teens, especially with some of those other guys. He might have, but it easily could have been. It was a risky kind of a swing for the fences pick. And this year, and definitely just the last several weeks, I think you're starting to see, like, I wouldn't call it, like, a walk-off home run yet, but it's definitely, like, at minimum, it's going to be a double. Like, really good. And more than likely, you're going to feel pretty good about the pick.
Yeah, I mean,
Because he's never going to produce, like, CeeDee Lamb. And, like, when you look at Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, they are just getting consistently 9 to 10 and, like, 140s in a touch. Like, his is going to be more like 5 for 110, right? But that one or two plays changes a game.
Yeah. Well, Jefferson's a clear number one receiver. even if Ruggs is never like a top tier.
Wouldn't you say Lamb is too? I know he's technically not on his team, but he would be on most teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think Jefferson is just on another level. I'd put Jefferson a step ahead above CeeDee.
He's pretty sweet. Yeah.
I love CeeDee Lamb. But my point is like, that's, we can go back to the CeeDee Lamb point, but to make the point on Ruggs, he's playing with Waller. He's playing with Renfro. If Edwards, a run game, Carr. Yeah. What?
He has a lot more catches than CeeDee Lamb. He's sweet.
Is Jefferson leading the league?
Well, Devontae was coming into today, but I don't know how many catches he had today.
They called a touchdown back that would have been pretty sweet had it counted.
He did step out.
I know, but it was just cool.
It was sweet, yeah.
What did he do today? 4 for 89?
Who?
Devontae. Is that right?
Yeah. Jefferson had 8 for 80, just casual. He's got 41 catches.
I mean, he's
not even to like Halloween. He's going to have 110. Good. He's going to have like 115. He's sweet.
How many times you trade a guy like Diggs, who's really good, and you go, upgraded, cheaper.
Yeah. More normal.
At least now, you never know. Like, you got to give receivers time. They can grow into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you give them back-to-back 100-catch seasons. Like, I can see, you know, I'd be, Ruggs has that type of personality. Like, could he have like a 10 touchdown season and start like walking in like with Superman capes and shit? Like, which I like. I mean, the NFL has thrived off guys like that, right? I don't even think I've ever heard Ruggs talk, but I hope he just kind of comes into his own, you know?
Yep.
Because I don't think Jefferson is like that at all. Jefferson is not. He's very just like, he's wired like a guard. I just don't think he talks. He's just a very normal guy. I can see Ruggs, though. Yeah, I think there's a little something there.
Especially, I think, when you're a big play guy, because those are the swaggiest plays, right?
Yeah. Well, what is Deshaun known for? Going back and forth up the goal line when the guy's chasing him?
Yeah.
Deshaun is better. I mean, Deshaun's one of the greatest speed guys in the history of the sport. And his skills at wide receiver were just so elite. This guy is more physical than Deshaun, though. You know, Deshaun was 165 pounds. Like, this guy, I don't know, you know, whatever he weighs in at 180, but he's jacked up. He just looks, he's just a little bit of a different type player. With that, like, clearly, like, him and Deshaun and, like, the short list of guys, like, I'm the fastest guy every time I step on the field. Like, it's not even a question.
And now he's got confidence. Like, Deshaun had a ton of confidence, and it feels like Ruggs, I don't know that he didn't have confidence last year, but I could understand if it was just difficult. Now it feels like he's got confidence. Certainly Derek has confidence.
I also think the major difference too with Deshaun, like Deshaun should have gone like the top 20, but then his character stuff, Tedford crushed him and he goes in the second round. So he came out guns blazing and he already thought he was like the number one overall pick. I do wonder with Ruggs, like, did he think he was going 11? And then all of a sudden you go 11, you're like, holy shit, there's a lot of pressure on me. Like that, I think sometimes when it's right when you're taking like Nick Bosa's going 4, Khalil Mack, like those guys, yeah, the whole time everyone was telling me I'm going top 5 the whole time.
Yeah.
But when it's like, oh shit, Alex Leatherwood 17, and all of a sudden like, God, I thought I was going to go like early second round. Now I'm like a 17th overall pick. That's an added pressure that I think sometimes of people in your head, or like because you don't know anything when you're training for the draft, you're just being told like, hey, I think we're going to go in like the 20s. You know, worst case scenario, we go like pick 35. Then all of a sudden you're sitting there with your family and you go 11th. That was one of the more shocking picks I remember that year. But it wasn't like people thought he was not good enough, like Cleveland Farrell, whatever. It's like, whoa, that's a bold move. I like when bold moves hit.
Yeah, the difference though is that it felt the Ruggs one. What did everybody say? Oh, it's an Al Davis pick, right?
Yeah.
No one said that about Cleveland Farrell.
No, people just thought like, is this guy a second rounder?
So
people said it's Solomon Thomas. He's making plays now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caused a fumble.
But he is the other part of it. He's just fun to watch too. You know, he's one of the most fun players.
I mean, I'm a sucker for a good 4-2 guy that can catch, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes they just can't, like they just never make plays.
Well, and remember
John Ross by like year 3, they're like, do you think he can play corner?
But also his quarterback was Andy Dalton. Like part of this is Derek does what people always beg quarterback, just throw it up and give him a chance. Like Derek does it. He just throws it up and gives him a chance. And he throws as good of a Texas leaguer as anybody, where it's just like, I'm just going to lollipop it out there and you like you have to really you can run all over the place and go make the play. Center fielder.
He did it to Waller today on one where he was running across the middle of the field. You know, Waller was at like the hash. Derek throws it like probably 5 yards inside of the out of bounds line, and Waller runs all the way across, and the DB's just chasing him, and he just catches it, and he gets tackled. It's like 34 yards.
The end zone cam on some of those throws is probably really fun to watch when you see really where the player was when Derek let go of the football.
I feel that's Derek's Phil Mickelson flop shot. Like, hey guys, well, check this one out. Because does he have to do that?
No, I do think it increases the chances if your player, you know, your guy sees the ball and is more talented. It just increases the chances. You're just giving it a wider kind of landing area, I think.
But couldn't he just throw a rope and hit the guy in stride?
Yeah, but I mean, the Ruggs ball, I'd be interested.
The Ruggs one's deep, but the Waller one, he did the same trajectory as the Ruggs. Yeah, I just wonder. I feel like he's kind of like, I'm going to hit a flop shot. So I just think bump
you,
and
increase
run.
You increase your room for error when you throw it high.
I get it on the go route, but on some of these other balls, I wonder if he has to do it. But what are
it's
they
like
going to do?
It's like the opposite of a flop shot. It's kind of like a bump and run. I think it just gives you more room for error.
Yeah.
And it kind of puts the onus on them. I'm just going to put it out there. You just go get it. It's almost like throwing a balloon.
On the go route, it's going to get you a lot of PIs.
That too. Yeah, maybe it's partly that. It's a good call.
Yeah, I know you were a fan. Did you see the NBA has like outlawed the pump fake? They're not calling it anymore. Do you think it's a little different, but it's pretty unfair? Like you underthrow the ball and you get rewarded.
Well, there was one today. Was it Mac? Somebody got crushed. The quarterback got maybe it was the Bronco Raider game actually. The quarterback was it Teddy got crushed, and so the ball wasn't. You know, like if the ball's tipped, there's no PI. Yeah. It wasn't tipped, but the quarterback got nailed as he was releasing the ball. And so the ball just lollipopped. And all of a sudden, it's not going to get to the receiver. So the receiver comes back to the DB. Yeah, it kind of feels like bullshit. I think it was Teddy, and there was a PI on the Raiders. Did you see they asked Russell about that, Russell Westbrook? They're like, Russ, you know, what do you think? Russ is like, yeah, not a problem for me. I don't shoot threes. No one guards me on them. So no one's fouling me on threes.
I do sometimes on some of the ticky-tack NFL PIs. With a guy is like in good position, it's a shitty throw, and then you get 45 yards. I would not complain if they changed to the college to the rule, college 15 rule. Yards.
Yeah. John, before we go any further, let's tell the people about liquidiv.com. Use the code HAM at checkout for 25% off anything you order. Liquidiv.com, promo code HAM. Now, I know this is a fact. Cooler weather makes it easier to miss signs of dehydration. Like overheating, like perspiration, which means it's even more important to keep your body properly hydrated. I'll tell you one adjustment I've recently made to my pregame routine, John, which is just my morning. Water before coffee. Just let me get one water in before coffee. And, you know, at liquidiv.com, promo code HAM, you get the a hydration multiplier. So you put that in the cup of water. Now you're getting more hydration than one cup of water gives you. For me, that's been a great way to start the day pre-coffee.
Guy, when I walked back into my house today, I didn't think I was going to be podcast ready. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't have it in me. I might have my lunch might not have stayed down.
Oh.
But then I realized that it's because of, not that I drank too much, it's I didn't eat a lot yesterday and I'm dehydrated. It's just the combo. Like that's a hangover is just dehydration. Well, Liquid IV sent us a bunch of stuff because I was like, I don't have any Gatorades or anything. I'm like, I'm too tired to go to 7-Eleven. I just finally got home. I was so happy to just hit my couch and throw on Bears Packers and just not move for 6 hours. And I realized, and I smiled really big, and I poured it in there, and I did feel better. There was a point in time at probably 2-ish, I'm like, am I going to need to tap out of this? And then I'm not bullshitting. Liquid IV. Your promo code HAM, I felt dramatically better.
Yeah, well, the beauty contains 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, as much potassium as a banana, healthier than your sugary sports drinks. That's a key to what you just said. No artificial flavors, preservatives, and less sugar than an apple. So grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or just go to liquidiv.com to get 25% off. Use the code HAM at checkout. 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code HAM at liquidiv.com. Also, John, you know, it's game week for the 49ers, and that means you can go to Puesto. Puesto, 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 baby. People kept sending us their photos of Puesto, Mexican artisan kitchen and bar in Levi's Stadium at sections 110 and 129. Puesto, puesto, puesto. We've been there. We love it.
For a split second, I thought the game was on the road, but it's a home game this week.
It is a home game.
It's a home game. Sunday Night Football, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, no big deal. Kind of a big deal. Colts got their mojo back. So if you're going to the game, check it out. Section 110 or 129. If you live in the East Bay, they have a restaurant, Puesto, in Concord. We went there 3-4 weeks ago. Fantastic. I need to go there again. I mean, I would slam some Puesto tacos.
We should meet up there soon, actually.
Yeah, and then there's also one in Santa Clara, right by the stadium, like right around the corner. So if you're ever down there for work during the week, if you're going to the game, check it out, Puesto. And then obviously they're in Southern California. These guys, big Niner fans, they're just great business people because their product is really. Let me say this. I think it's very, very difficult in 2021 to have like unique food and it also be really good. Cause I think a lot of people try to do different stuff and anyone listening to this in the food business knows better than me, whatever the stat is, like 9 out of 10 restaurants or 8 out of 10, whatever the number is, it's clear it's hard to make it in the restaurant business. And a lot of times people try to throw these curveballs and their tacos are just, they look a lot different than tacos that I've ever had. And
well, they get that cheese layer under, you know, grilled inside the tortilla.
It's just like, but even their guacamole, like they hit you with the little, the squares of the cheese, like
the Parmigiano Reggiano.
That is just, that's a game changer, flavor explosion in your mouth.
It's so good. And the handmade tortillas daily, quesabirria taco, my favorite personally, the crispy melted cheese, the braised short ribs. What else do you need to know about a taco? Several Southern California locations, 2 in the Bay Area, 2 in Levi Stadium. So if you go to a Puesto, send us a picture. If you're going to the Niner game, just swing by, grab a taco, maybe a Bang Bang margarita. They have a ton of margaritas. Section 110, section 129 in Levi's Stadium. It's great food. It's great food. Yeah. The Adler brothers are doing good stuff. Eric and Alex and the crew, they know what they're doing.
Don't sleep on Eric and Alex. They are crushing it.
All right, John, let's talk about Trey Lance. Because as you said, I'd forgotten the Niners play Sunday Night Football. So unfortunately, we're not going to get, you know, the Monday night game. You always get like a Steve Young appearance. But Steve Young went on KMBR and talked about Trey last week. And he said a number of things, including this. He's awesomely raw. There's some stuff, but, you know, it's moving very quickly. Quarterback is about coming to a place where no matter how crazy, how intense, you quiet your mind. When your mind is quiet, you own the data. You own the moment. Now, it's not something you can keep doing, running the football with him. Clearly, that was an effort to get him in the mix, which is obvious to me that he's not trusted, right? He's young, first game. Look, when I say not trusted, people are going to overreact. What rookie in his first start is trusted? What I'm saying is I don't want to put him in a spot where I get him on the run all the time and he's almost too comfortable. I'm paraphrasing now. He doesn't want him constantly just not even looking at receivers and pulling down the ball down the run. In terms of getting to a place of comfort, he said it's a wonderful place to get. But until you get there, you're always trying to manage your brain being overwhelmed with data while trying to keep up running from play to play and the pressure of it all.
What was the word he used right there?
He said, he said something about trust and overwhelm. You don't want to be your brain overwhelmed with data. Yeah. He must have said it nice, though.
Yeah. maybe it's just easier for him to say that stuff.
People go, he is Steve Young.
He knows what he's talking about. Yeah, it's just what we saw. Like, he had a lot going on. Where I hesitate, you know, the first thing he said was his talent or something is like excitingly raw or something.
Awesomely raw.
Where I just struggle, you know, and I think a lot of people, I guess these other shows that people listen to our show listen to that said we were too negative, like I just don't anoint that yet because I've been wrong so many times by doing that at the quarterback position. Like it's why we didn't jump off the Ruggs bandwagon. It's like I've seen enough. Like I'm sticking with quarterback. It is so difficult just because you can run around or have a strong arm. Like it doesn't necessarily mean that much to become a great player, which I think we all want him to become. Like this show wants Trey Lance to be sweet. I would love to be like, oh, what do you get to do 17 times a year? I don't know, watch Josh Allen 2.0. Like that seems fun. You know what's cool? Bills fans right now, ask them if they're having a good time.
They are. Like, ask the Chiefs fans what the last 4 years have been like. Ask the Ravens what the transition like was from Flacco to Lamar, how that's been going. Like, that's what we all want. And as two people that consume every single Niner snap and then have to talk about it, like, I want the guy to be remarkable. But it's just a long way to go. And I don't think we ever did this, but I remember we wanted to do it and was kept getting pushed back. Like, Kyle got shit on. And listen, I've been critical of Kyle. Just when I say critical, like, it just feels like he's off. I don't really even know how to quantify it. Just his rhythm's off. And he's also playing with Jimmy Average and a rookie quarterback who is rawer than the day is long. But, like, what Steve just kind of verbalized is that Kyle went into that game thinking, my quarterback doesn't really know what's going on. Because no one would, as a 21-year-old who's played one game for like 2 years playing the NFL. You know what turns out? That team that he had to start against is remarkable. They're awesome. Like, they're not just like, oh, the Cardinals are 6-0. It's like, they're kicking people's ass. You know?
Well, you and I had considered taking the Browns this week against the Cardinals in our lock of the week, and it was clear very early we made the right decision not doing that.
Well, guy, I mean, their head coach, test positive, who's also their play caller, and if you didn't know, like, if it wasn't public story, it never came out, and you weren't really paying attention, you'd just been like, God, Cliff Kingsbury just kicked the Browns' ass, yeah. Right?
Wait, it was Vance Joseph?
And it just didn't matter. I mean, their team is stacked, and Trey, I assume the guy had competitive character. I guess you have to learn by watching the guy play, but, like, all the stuff that they had studied on the guy, like, that was not the issue. It's just going to be basic things of making throws, which it's going to be hard for Kyle just to go, like, let's go 3-4 wide and just let Trey just sling the pill. You know, like, I don't think Kyle is going to go, he's ready, because I don't think he is. So he has to run this more of an elementary school offense, which then everyone starts freaking out. It's like, why are you running quarterback power? Because Kyle doesn't really think he can do anything else. Or not that he can't.
And by the way, not all of those. This is why I didn't buy the Jimmy Garoppolo conspiracy theory on the calf, is because you don't force a player out of a game and then come out of the locker room and run four straight times with him like they did with Trey Lance when he came in for the second half of that game.
I'd have to ask people in the NFL how impossible that would even be to do conspiracy theories like with injuries on quarterbacks.
That. Yeah.
Because I do believe them sometimes, but it's like, is that even possible? Like Trey Lance, they fake a knee sprain? Because, I mean, listen, I believe that kind of, because I didn't see him getting
hurt. You actually said to me earlier today, if I could say it before you say it on the show, would they have let him go to Oracle Park on a sprained knee?
Well, you wouldn't let him go walk around on a sprained knee.
Depends how sprained the knee is, right? A light sprain and a real sprain. There's crutches sprains, and there's just like, not 100% sprains.
Right now, recording this Sunday night, who do you expect, if they're both healthy, which I think I'm going to assume they're both good to go this week. Is Trey Lance the quarterback or is Jimmy Garoppolo the quarterback?
I think Trey Lance is the quarterback.
I do too. And the game that you see Trey Lance play against the Colts, do you think it's going to look more like it did last week in terms of the offense? Or do you think it's going to be like all of a sudden, God, they're just letting him rip?
I think it'll look more like that one that we just
watched. I think if they were to lose, the freak out would be huge. But I understand it where Kyle's coming from, because Steve just said, when you have a guy that, say that quote one more time. How do you define it?
Awesomely raw.
Awesomely raw. It's hard to just, you know, let's let him throw 48 times a game. Especially when one of his knocks right now is touched a little off with his loopy release, or you're trying to play around it. But he, like, his throwing power is something that separates him as a player, right? Like, his just pure arm strength is, it's pretty eye-opening. Just watch him just let it rip. He just doesn't always know where it's going.
I think so. Paul in the stream made a good point earlier. At some point, you are bringing an inexperienced Trey Lance into a game. That's happening, right? The question is when. When are you doing it?
Well, they just did it.
And why wait? Yeah, well, they just did it, but they're going to do it. The next time he plays, he's still inexperienced Trey Lance. He's not suddenly experienced Trey Lance after six quarters of football, right?
Well, let's say Monday morning, Kyle, or maybe it doesn't happen till Wednesday, it gets announced. They're both healthy, but Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start. I think people would be very, very mad at Kyle.
Well, yeah, I mean, they would. I do kind of wonder, Kyle, just go back to the draft. Kyle always said, why would I tell anybody what I'm doing if I don't have to tell anybody what I'm doing? It would not shock me if Jimmy is, like, doing the starting quarterback interview on Wednesday, but he's not the starting quarterback on Sunday night. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the
like you're not obligated
rules. It's a pretty big game Sunday, guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's also just organization. Like, okay, is DeForest Buckner going to end up with a big game? And, you know, like, there's a lot going on for them. We'll talk this week, I think, about what it's going to take to make the playoffs in the NFC, but they're 2-3.
Well, they're also playing a team who's, you know, depending on what happens in the Monday night game, kind of going to be playing for their season. They're 2-4, the Colts. So if you go 2-5, like, you're not making the playoffs in the AFC, right? Like, their season is somewhat on the line. Right, I mean, it's a huge game for them.
Yeah,
it's big for the Niners, but like, the Colts season would be done. 2-5, like that's over. Like, so you're gonna get a team throwing their best shot, and they do have good players on defense. Like, that is an area that just the last couple years. I know this year's been kind of a struggle. I honestly saw Kevin Clark tweeted today. He's like, you could convince me that the Colts Titans game, or I mean the Colts Texan game, like. I don't even know it exists. I didn't see a highlight. I didn't see one snap. I didn't even know it was on television. You could have convinced me that that was the game before the European game. Like, they just played that thing at 4 a.m. Like, yeah, probably. But they, you know, they beat the shit out of the Texans, who were terrible. Wentz is actually playing.
T.Y. Hilton came back.
Got hurt, though.
I know, but I think it's a quad. They said it's not that big of a deal. But.
You see, he actually did something I saw this week. He was like in a press conference and like kind of getting emotional. He's like, I almost retired this offseason because of the injuries. And then he laughed. He's like, you know, the first guy I reached out to, probably shouldn't say this, was Andrew. But Andrew helped talk him into staying and keep playing. But they're a team that they're better than their record. Like, if I told you right now the Colts, instead of 2-4, they could be 4-2. Like, it's not inconceivable, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. I think they're more difficult to beat than you would think from their record. We'll see if Carson Wentz is, over the balance of his career, like a 10-11 win quarterback.
Well, but I'm just saying the last 2 weeks he's been really good. He was good against the Ravens. It was like his best game in like 2 years. And then, I mean, again, didn't see one snap of this playing the Texans. Well, I mean, he went 11-20 for 220 yards and 2 touchdowns. Today didn't even count.
Well, Jonathan Taylor ran for 145.
He did beat them last year, though, with the
Eagles. Yes, with a bad team.
Yeah. Nick Mullins threw two of the worst interceptions you'll ever see in that game.
But you know what? Like, this goes back to Trey, to go back to Trey for a moment, is, and we haven't had a lot of this yet because he hasn't played that much. We saw a little bit of it in the preseason, but that, you know, who knows how much, whatever. Usually with a young quarterback who's really talented, before they're fully ready to just be the guy and do everything that you eventually want your offense to do, you do get moments out of them. And I think that's something with Trey we haven't talked about much. It's with his talent level, you are bound to get a couple of moments, right? Even through whatever other trade-offs there are. And there were some of those in the game, more so with his legs. But I do expect you're going to get some of that with him the more he plays, where maybe you're not getting 68% completion percentage, right, like you want, or 67 or 66 like you want right away and 300 yards. But maybe you're getting enough solid play and then a couple of throws here or there. Somebody tweeted, I don't remember who it was today. Now, they ended up ended up throwing for 450 some yards. Oh, it was, you know who it was? It was Eric Crocker. I saw tweeted about Dak. He's like, you know, his arm is fine until he has to make that one throw that it's just not fine enough to make. I don't think that's, I'm paraphrasing. Like, his arm's good enough, except for that one throw that you need him to make.
Yeah, he doesn't have an elite arm.
Now, in the end, they won the game and he threw for 450, and I might have to take back some of what I said about Mike McCarthy by the end of this year. But the point is,
McCarthy's
does
like 15-2, bitches.
I know. Remember when Abram wanted to fire me after week one, 2020 against the Rams?
Well, what if they get the one seed guy?
Trey does have that arm. So, you know, you might get a play or two a game that makes you go, whoa, that's awesomely raw.
Now, but this is back to the quarterback thing. Playing quarterback, what Dak has right now, and he's playing, I mean, he's never been better, and he's been really good. His accuracy is pretty elite, and his accuracy is touch, his feel for, and that's like, so I would, like right now, if you said, if you could just morph Trey to become Dak Prescott, or would you just hope that he becomes what his physical attributes in the Josh Allen? You would just be, make him Dak.
Right? You're saying if I came to you as the football god and said, all right, I'll give you Dak Prescott right now, or you can roll the dice and he might be like
Josh Allen. I'm even saying Trey Lance stays Trey Lance, but his arm's not quite as powerful. He just turns into Dak, right? Or you can just risk it and see if you can hit
for the biscuit and see if you can get Josh.
Because ultimately, Dak, no one, and he's awesome, no one will ever be like, yeah, he's more talented than Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, Lamar, right?
Right.
They just won't. Hell, even Trey, they'll never go, you know, he's got a better arm than Trey Lance. But that you gotta turn that in. Kaepernick, once upon a time, he still, in my mind, made the greatest throw I've ever seen. Oh. It was a rope to Vernon Davis, I think against Tampa, that was like 75 yards on a string. Like, I don't think any human being in the league right now, maybe Josh Allen, could make the throw. What everyone always said about Jamarcus's pro day, it was like that, but in a real NFL game. It was like,
that was better than the 1 foot running towards the line of scrimmage throw to Anquan in the back of the end zone at Buffalo Wild Wings. Haberman and Middlecoff watched it.
Well, do you remember that Earl Thomas jumped up and it went right through his hand?
Hit it. Yes. Not between his hands, but through his one hand.
Given that that was the NFC Championship game, that's probably his most impressive throw. But like part of like really impressive throws, like Rodgers made a million over his career. He also makes all these just other mundane, easy ones, right?
Yeah.
Like part of Rodgers,
which is most of the throws you make.
Yeah, you watch him today. A lot of it's just like he's cool. We were texting about Derek Carr today. Like, you know, sometimes the Raiders aren't like early in the game. You're like, this is kind of boring. And Derek, and this is a balance, and you hear these older quarterbacks talking about it, where you kind of come to grips with, you know, when you have a lot of talent, of being like, yeah, I'll dump it down this drive, all drive long. And if we go, you know, if we don't get past the 50-yard line, I'm not going to turn it over. And I'm feeling the game out. And then as the game goes on, I can take my shots. And that is the maturation process, I think, for any good quarterback. I looked up a couple times, and Mahomes, one, went through Tyreek's hands, but he still does some things like, whoa there, Patrick.
Well, he's got
a bunch of picks.
Did he throw a pick today?
He threw two. Now, one was not his fault.
So does he have eight now?
He definitely has more than – he's on a pace for like 20.
Yeah. Which he's normally like a 12 or 14 guy, right?
Yeah. Now, sometimes it just works out. Remember, was it last year, PFF? The one stat that I do like, because I always love this, like, Middlecoff, PFF has Crosby. Like you said, it was just a random guy who fucking might have gone to, like, Texas State, who love football, just jotting down. No different than you DMing me that, or no different than me and Guy if we just created a strategy. I'm not talking shit about them, but that's the reality. They're just giving a guy an arbitrary grade by an individual who is just 28-year-old from Delaware. Good for that guy for, you know, getting in the sports business, but let's not act like, you know, he wasn't trained by Ernie Accorsi in the scouting community.
Yeah,
you know,
it came up. We were talking about it the other day because I had a college coach tell me that they've, like, the PFF numbers that they get sometimes are way off because they'll have an offensive lineman. Like, they had graded an offensive lineman with one pressure allowed, but PFF had six, and they're like, they didn't know. They're like, I think they're giving him pressures on screenplays. They couldn't figure it out. But yeah, people grade things differently.
Well, I was in the car driving back from the Valley today, and I didn't get home to like 10:30. So that first 30-minute window, I went to Sirius XM and 88. What 88 with the NFL channel, it actually is pretty cool on NFL game days, is just the red zone, but radio calls. So it's like going live to the Chiefs, going live to the Rams. And it's just the radio voice of that team who's ever on like the offensive, right? Who's about to do something cool. It's pretty sweet, you know? And they go to the Rams game, and it's J.B. Long. And J.B. dropped and it's any announcer would, but he was like, they put some guy in, and he's like, this guy was the best run-blocking tackle in the draft. Or he made a comment like that. And I understand using that, but I'm sure he got that from PFF, right? Just as every announcer would get these printouts because it's good shit to use. But that is just someone at PFF, some individual gave that guy that grade. Like, there's a chance that if I went to, like, John Schneider or Les Snead, and I say, did you guys have this guy as the top blocking, run blocking tackle? No. He's like, no, we had him, like, top five, but he wasn't the best.
He might have got that stat from Les Snead. Might have been their own internal grade.
No, he might. I think he was talking about the opponent.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, but it clicked because I'd been thinking about PFF. We had that conversation.
By the way, Mahomes last year, six interceptions. the year before five, the year before 12.
But I'm pretty sure last year it was either him or Allen or maybe both of them. Didn't he throw a bunch of interceptable passes?
Well, Allen had like, I remember watching this tape of like 30 interceptable balls. I mean, that was too high, but for Josh Allen. Maybe Mahomes did too, but I said Mahomes is a 12 interception guy, but he's not. He's a 6 interception guy historically. The last 2 years, he has 11 combined. Andre on YouTube says he has 15 in his last 15 games.
When I watch Mahomes, he doesn't feel like a 5 or 6 interception guy.
He does not.
You know, he feels like a 42 and 12 guy.
Yes,
doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And there's
not.
Nothing wrong with that. I can live with 45 and 12. I mean, Tom Brady's about to be. You know, Tom Brady might throw 50 touchdowns.
Yeah. I do know that.
50 touchdowns at 44. 50?
He's going to try and throw 50 at 50. Which, by the way, the chat started, the podcast on YouTube started today with somebody asking, do you want Mac Jones now? At that point in time, Mac Jones had just responded to an interception with what looked like maybe the game-winning touchdown throw to Kendrick Bourne. But then the
way too much time on the clock, though.
Yeah, well, like it was like 2.5 minutes, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah,
it was less.
It was like 2:20. Yeah, it was a lot.
No, I don't have any. My take was never that Mac Jones sucks. Your take was never that Mac Jones sucks. So I don't have anything to rethink. I don't think here on Mac Jones, at least not yet. He was 15 of 21, 229, 2 touchdowns a pick. Mac Jones looks really good for a rookie quarterback. The question with Mac Jones is not, is he a solid NFL quarterback in the future? The question is, can he be a top five quarterback, which is what you're trying to get when you draft a quarterback in the top five? Shocker. You draft a guy in the top five, you want him to be top five. So I'm not rethinking Mac Jones. At this point, like over more talented guys like Trey Lance, or that the Niners should have drafted him. Any thoughts?
There's nothing like in the NBA, if you went, Did Chris Duarte, he was a first round pick this year, right?
Yeah, top 15.
But like, let's say the team drafted number 2 overall this season was like, you know, I think Chris Duarte is my favorite player in the draft. But in a million years, could we draft him at 2? Right? In the NBA, like if you're the 15th overall pick, that's probably the equivalent in the NFL of going like mid second round, right? A top 5 pick in the NBA is like probably top 15, you know, because there's only 2 rounds. You can say like, hey, I really thought Mac Jones was solid. But in the history of the draft, the guys with that physical skill set, they go in the third round. And I always say this, you know, it's like, you thought he was a third rounder? What's wrong with being a third rounder? How many humans in your lifetime have you met that are like, yeah, I was drafted in the third round of the NFL draft? Like, that is such a small fraternity of men. You get this a lot in the second round. You understand why so many great players get drafted in the second round every single year? Because there's only so many picks in the first round. Like getting drafted in, you know, past pick 20 is not a bad thing. Like that's like Bateman, the dude the Ravens took in the first round today. Rashad. I think he made his NFL debut. And let's say he becomes a really good player. Like he was drafted 27th in the, that's really, really high. Really high. And I think sometimes when you drafted where Trey is, and this is why the Trey conversation is so polarizing. Because where they drafted him. And then it wasn't, they weren't just sitting there. They had to trade up to get him. And it's always why, like, Solomon Thomas's, the Cleveland Farrells, those type player, when you're drafted really, really high, quarterback or any position, it's not the same. It's just not. Like, we would not talk about George Kittle like George Kittle if he was the 7th pick in the draft. Part of like what makes maybe now, but like what made him so unique was like, yeah, you got this guy in the, or Richard Sherman, right? Your draft status, Jeff Schwartz hammers this home. It does not define your career, but it does change early on your career if you get more shots.
Well, you
get
more shots.
How people talk about you, you get more shots, but also the pressure that's on you, right? You have to be a high impact player. And at quarterback, you have no shot. Like the guy. You take a guy at 15th overall. Like, think of some of the guys that hit over, like, the last 20 years that went kind of in that, like, 10 to 15 range. Like, I think Roethlisberger was in that range. I think Flacco was in that range. I think Roethlisberger might have been, like, 11. Flacco was somewhere, like, 13 or 14. Like, you know, you got to – they're looking for you to be a starter for, like, a decade. Obviously, Roethlisberger's the high end of, like, a Hall of Famer. But, you know, if I say, hey, he turns into Joe Flacco – you know, like, oh.
Yeah, even though he did have the one season where he won the Super Bowl, but Joe Flacco was a pretty average player, right?
And I can't help, yes. But, you know, as you watch Brady and Rodgers, and they're not I don't think you can draft a guy going like, maybe he'll be Rodgers.
That's my issue with the Josh Allen comp. It's like, that's setting yourself up to like, hey, this guy could be the next Steph Curry.
Yeah, but you know what? If he's not Josh Allen, he can still be great, and no one's going, he's great, but he's not Josh Allen. Like, I think it's just about trying to explain what you see in a skill set. I think that's what that comp really means. It's like, this is what his skill set is.
But when you do say it, people, just fans in their mind, would get in their mind, like, I want this guy to be really sweet.
No, absolutely. But I'm saying you can be really sweet without being as good as Josh Allen.
Yes, you can.
So,
I would take Josh Allen over Dak Prescott, but the Cowboys do not lose sleep having Dak Prescott on their team, right? I'm just using him as an example.
No, they don't lose sleep. Let's see as time goes on, though, right? If he's Josh Allen hasn't won a Super Bowl either, right? Like, maybe he wins one this year, but he hasn't done that yet.
He's already been to an AFC. He got to an AFC Championship game by his third year. It's pretty impressive.
I know. The assumption is that eventually you get expensive, it's hard to maintain a really good team, and you have to carry us as a quarterback, and the better skilled quarterbacks can do that. That's why we talk about the better skilled quarterbacks that way. We'll see if Dak is ever in that position. Right now, he's putting up incredible numbers. He's going to have to win playoff games.
I do remember.
And I've seen far less talented quarterbacks win playoff games.
For sure. I remember sitting on my couch, living here, and they played. Remember, they were the number one overall seed, and the Packers beat them in the second round. They hosted it. It was like they were supposed to be like, this is the year they're finally going to make it to the championship game. And they lost. Their defense got shredded. I remember, I think I had an edible that day, thinking like, God, Dak Prescott, he was awesome. And that was his rookie year. And I do trust, you know, I've come around on him big time. But I just think I've seen him in a playoff game. Sometimes you have a playoff game where you lose, but you play really well.
Yeah. Right?
It happened to, remember Alex? Didn't Alex have the best game of his life and lost to the Colts?
The Colts. But it's great careers take a long time to develop. Great moments come as your career goes on. And so, you know, with Mac, whatever he's going to be, I don't know. What Trey's going to be, I don't know. It's going to take years. You can have a good playoff game. You can have two good years. And you don't maintain it, or you don't develop, right? Like, part of the way we talk about guys is, what is next? Like, what comes next? I think that's, for me, where I missed on Garoppolo was I thought there was going to be another level to Garoppolo, and that thing never came. That level never came.
Well, you didn't miss. That's on Jimmy.
Yeah, he didn't do what I knew he could do. Still hasn't. No. But here's the thing with Mac is, like, I am very interested to see where this goes with him. Like, he is, I watch him every week if I can, because in large part because of the team he's on, I give him a better chance than if he was on another team being him, right?
But
if the Vikings had drafted Mac Jones and he was playing every day, I don't know that although that would actually be a pretty good team to be on too.
They have like the 31 year old.
I know that's a bad example. Sorry, I shouldn't use
Cousins. But I do think the comp for Cousins is a good one. If you put Kirk Cousins on Houston, right, put him on the Jags, on some of these bad teams, it would look pretty ugly. But you put him with Jefferson, Thielen, they have multiple running backs. Like, when you watch the Vikings on offense, you just go, God, this thing is powerful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think Mac, like, ultimately Josh and Trey and Mahomes and Herbert and Lamar, obviously you want to surround them with as many elite players as you can. But, like, if they do have to play a couple games with some random Joe Schmo, like, they can still look sweet when they're on. Where Mac, like, they're going to have to do a good job, which they really, you know, have struggled to draft skill guys, definitely receivers, to get good players. Like, is his best wide receiver Kendrick Bourne? You know, like, I mean, part of it is like he was equipped, and the Cousins is excelling because he has one of the best young receivers, I would imagine, statistically through however many 16 games and five more we've probably ever seen. And Thielen is just a top, what would you say, like 20 wide receiver in the league. And Dalvin Cook's a top two or three running back, and Madison is easily one of the better backups. Like, their team is equipped for Cousins to excel, and he is. But you have to, like, ultimately with Trey, and you see this with Mahomes, like, they have Hill and Kelsey, but, like, they throw a lot of other, like, 12, 13, and 14 number guys that you don't. Is that Pringle or is that Hardeman? They're not really. Those guys aren't great. But Mahomes, And even Herbert, hell, Dak's doing it with this Wilson guy, number one. Like, can you make a guy, even though Wilson, but that guy just might be good. Can you make guys, kind of random guys, look better?
Jacoby Myers is by far and away the most targeted receiver on the Patriots, by the way. 46 targets. Hunter Henry has 26. Kendrick Bourne has 22.
Do you know what round Jacoby Myers was drafted in?
I do. It wasn't undrafted. One. He was undrafted.
Yeah, problemo. Do you think that's why Tom's like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I'll see you later, Bill.
Did you? There were some more details of that excerpt of the stuff we already do. Remember Barrows or Mayoko had written some of what came out of the book, Better to Be Feared, about the Niners.
The book's released now.
The book out, yeah. And there were just some additional details just in terms of, like, you know, maybe they've been out in other parts, but going to Kraft's house and saying, I'm leaving. And then he called Bill, wanted to meet, and Bill couldn't meet, but he talked to him on the phone.
Can you imagine 20-year partner? You can't meet in person. That's pretty nuts. Bill's a pretty big curmudgeon.
I mean,
looked like someone bumped him on his nose, like a helmet to the nose.
Yeah. I don't know what that was.
He's 2-4. I mean, he's can't be a happy camper.
Mr. Superfly on YouTube says Jimmy has a 60 PFF grade. Trey's got a 59. It's neck and neck.
No one even knows what that stuff means, though, and people love throwing it out. It validates your opinion, or it argues for what you know. It goes either way. It's like, yeah, you can crush if you disagree with what I'm saying, or you can validate, you know, your side.
John, Friday was nose hair day for me. Manscaped.com, promo code HAM. Get the Performance Package 4.0. It's available right now, 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/ham.
Yep. Say trick or treat to your beautiful new Halloweeny. How about that? Halloweeny with Manscaped.
Did I get that same copy?
I think I forwarded it to you. I just looked at their call to action. I was like, Halloweeny, that's a good one. I love a good Halloweeny. You want to keep your Halloweeny clean? That's where Manscaped comes in. Or your nose hairs. Can you stick that into your ear? It might be risky. They did not say to do that. Yeah. Do not do that. Manscaped.com, promo code HAM. Obviously the lawnmower, I mean, they're on the 4.0 now. We've been in business with Manscaped, the 2.0, the 3.0, the 4.0, they kick ass. The nose hair thing though, that little, what's it called? The rotary dual edge blade,
skin safe nose technology. Hair trimmer. Yep. 9,000 RPM, gents.
It really is. As someone who's been tweezing for a long time and just crying, you know, every other week with just tears, God, it's so painful.
The weed whacker.
And that's you just get the weed whacker. It works. And you don't even feel it. I got a little nervous doing it. And you're like, God, all Manscaped stuff is just so good.
The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when you need a more precise shave. And the new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim throughout with different guard length sizes 1 through 4. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HAM right now at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping. Code HAM at manscaped.com. Manscaped.com. Code HAM. Unlock your confidence. Use the right tools for the job. Treats, no tricks. Manscaped.com. Promo code HAM.
Yeah, get your Halloweeny ready for Halloween.
Do not open the door and then have people reach in like
do not
SNL
do that.
Picking a box. Candy. Hot dogs. John, this podcast also brought to you by Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. You post, you screen, you interview, all on Indeed. Bam. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications. Schedule the complete video interviews with your Indeed dashboard. Go to Indeed.com right now. Indeed.com.
Yep, guy. A franchise quarterback won't shine without an all-pro
O-line.
Slash ham. When you're building a championship team, you're only as good as your teammates, and you need help, and that's where Indeed comes in. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people. With instant match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can even invite them to apply right away. It's very, very easy. 90% of employers get quality candidates as soon as they sponsor a job post, according to Indeed data. How about that? Get started right away. $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/ham. Get $75 credit at Indeed.com/ham. Indeed.com/ham. Offer valid
through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Indeed.com/ham. Urban Meyer got a win, John. Did you see Trevor Lawrence had his arm around Urban as they were waiting for the field goal to go through the upright? And by did you see the replay and the highlight? Not did you see it live?
How many snaps of that game did you watch?
Not one. Not a single snap.
I got a text like, Brian Flores is screwing this up. I'm like, yeah, I'm not. Zero of my emotion goes toward Dolphins, Jags. That's what are we doing to the Euros?
Well, they got a good game, it turned out. They don't know. That's the beauty. They don't even know.
You're right. Maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way. If it was a close, tight game, they don't
like
know
when they difference. Send, you know, Man U over and then none of their star players play. Does anyone know?
I remember Man City or Man U with Ronaldo came to the Eagles my first year there. And I was like, I'm going to go work out when they're working out. I just want to see Ronaldo in person. And it turns out it's like the D team. It's like, this is what is going on here. You're selling out the link and you're not even bringing the star. You can't tell me, you know, Lady Gaga's performing, then Lady Gaga doesn't show up.
They could have put a guy out there in a Ronaldo jersey and like 90% of people wouldn't have known. Like,
I might not have 100% known. But yeah, give Urban just very
give Miss Flowers.
Did you see like one of the post game shows or halftime shows? I just had on like the Raider game at halftime. They showed the video of him like talking to the team. Like it just feels doesn't feel right.
He
never take for granted how lucky we are to work in this game type deal.
Turn that camera off.
Yeah, and then he dropped like, we got a guy right here, and he points one of the best owners in the league. It's like, oh, my God, Urban, you're such a cheese ball. And then the guy goes, there's a player, grabs a ball, and drops a, this guy's going to have a lot of these coming up. First win. I'm like, he's giving a game ball to Urban? And then he's like, he's going to be one of the best players in the league one day, Trevor Lawrence. And I was like, oh, thank God. He'd give
Urban someone's supposed
ball.
To give a game ball to Urban, right? He's the head coach. That's his first NFL win. You got to get the game ball. Your first NFL win as a head coach?
That to me is probably the owner has to do it in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's more than one ball. You're right. The owner should do that.
I would imagine, maybe it already has, but like when the Raiders things go viral, that they give Rich a game ball. Right?
Yes. There's more than one ball got used that day. There's more than one game ball. I would not surprise me if Derek is the one that does that one. Or maybe Mark.
It's kind of like captains. Do you notice, like, if you've watched enough of these things that get tweeted out from I guess it happens in college too, but in pros, it's very prominent, right? The game balls. You make it up as you go, like, I need another ball. Like, there's not like two game balls, could be seven game balls, could be one game ball. Like, you just, McVay's always doing that. Like, I think I'm going to need another game ball. You just make it up on the fly.
Do you think Mark Davis talked to Mike Shanahan at the game?
Yeah. Because like, Mike Shanahan.
Hey, Mike. Well, I know it created a problem. Hey, Mike. Do you think Mike was hey! Just so you know, I think Rich is a great special teams coach.
Yeah, you know, if I could easily go for I color this hair back. I look I'll look 55 before you even blink. Either there comes a time when he just went like, what am I even coloring this for every 2 weeks? Doesn't even matter.
Must have.
Because he does have a great full head of hair.
Yeah.
It's just completely all white.
It's very thick.
Didn't see Kyle there. Maybe he has to work tomorrow.
Yeah, work to do, John.
Tough travel.
Got work to do. Ed Ogeron, John, is going to coach LSU, but not beyond this year. Bruce Feldman wrote that LSU is expected to pay his entire buyout, which is $17 million. I saw somebody else suggest that maybe they wouldn't, but if you're him, you're making them pay the entire buyout. His record at LSU is 49-17, including 13-5 against top 10 teams.
Say it again.
49-17 record, 13-5 against top 10 opponents.
He has not been as bad, I think, as people talk about him.
No, but I think much like you project quarterbacks, you're projecting that it's only going to get worse. Pete Thamel wrote, according to a source, it's one of those things where no one wanted to be there. The players didn't want to play for him. The coaches didn't want to coach for him.
That's pretty telling. And I do think Pete Thamel, an old school journalist, wouldn't just throw that out based on one person. Like, I think that's probably the sentiment, right? Because you always say, and most people do, like, you can always find someone to say something.
Right.
But I don't think he would, and I know him a little bit. Like, that's pretty crazy that he's that hated.
And I actually, at the party I was at on Saturday night, was just through a mutual, my cousin's, one of his best friends, has worked with Ed and Lane and all these guys. And I mean, love, like, likes Lane and loves Sark and like all the guys, he did not like Ed. And I've heard different experiences from people that have worked with Ed. I don't think it's the easiest human to be around. Now, and then there's the other stuff reporting that like he's just the horniest coach ever and he's just chasing women left and right. He got a divorce. I do just wonder, when Saban is the guy in your conference, and that's kind of the bar. I remember Ed Manowitz, who we hired from Alabama. I remember it's always asking him Nick Saban questions. And he's like, I've never seen Nick not like, he changes immediately when he comes to the office after practice, like puts it back on his slacks and his collared shirt, like from his practice uniform. He's like, he gave me a story. The only time I've ever seen him come out of the office not dressed is like a coach had pissed him off and he came to scream at him and he ran out of the office without his socks on, just no socks, just barefoot. And everyone was like, knew he was hot. Like, Nick's just so buttoned up, but he just lost it.
Yeah.
And this is, a decade ago probably. But it just shows you, like, I just wonder, your rival, your LSU, your rival is Alabama. And it's just like, this guy, that's who you just, like, can we just ever, because he did take him down, right? He beat him 2 years ago. But then remember the post-game deal when he's like, Roll Tide, what? Fuck you. And the dude was, it was like Clyde had the Instagram Live going, and like they're all dancing. Because it was an incredible win. He'd say this for him. He coached one of the greatest teams in the history of college sports, right?
He did. He absolutely did. But I do think it's
he's old. He's old too. He's not like, it's not like he's 48. I bet he's like 60.
No, he's not 48. Reading some of what that Kevin Clark excerpt, reading 60. Some of this Pete Thamel, Bruce Feldman stuff. Like in college football, especially the head coaches are the faces of the franchises, not the players. Because like Trevor Lawrence has come and go.
Yeah.
And like when you're look at Brady, I think part of what people want from a leader, if they are the one leading you while you're winning, is it's hard to have some restraint when you're as rich as he is, when you feel like you're on top of the world, when you could, I guess, just bring any woman around the facility that you want. It's not a moral issue that anybody would have with that. There's nothing immoral about it, right? It's more just about, I think, at the highest level.
I mean, Jimbo got divorced, started wearing Ed Hardy t-shirts.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to be able, I think, when you get all the fame and all the fortune, to also show the people that you're leading just a little bit of understanding that as a leader, my standard of self-control, my standard of how I'm perceived, my standard of how hard I work, like all that stuff is far more important to me maintaining control over this organization than all this other stuff. And if it starts to look like you're enjoying the fame and the fortune more than you are the leadership and the winning, then you lose everybody quick. And I don't really know. The thing with Ed is like, was Ed the defensive coordinator? No. Was he the offensive coordinator? No. He had two offensive coordinators. Remember that? So What was it that he did? Well, leadership was the thing, apparently. Organizational leadership.
Recruiting. It was known as like one of
the recruiters. But, I think there's an element of like you can't look like you're a kid who just got out of high school and is living on his own for the first time when you're the leader of the LSU Tigers.
Because he felt like he was captain of the ship in 19, right? And then now it feels like, is he just like a frat bro mixed with also being the head football coach?
Which, again, you got all the money and you're on top of the world. Enjoy it. If you want to spend those 2 years just living it up, enjoying it all, then you can. But that's not how you maintain it.
Is there a chance
Brady that he doesn't say yes to every red carpet invite?
Is there a chance that he got fired if like people loved him and he was just a really good guy? They wouldn't want him to go. It doesn't feel like he's as beloved as I thought reading some of these excerpts. Now, maybe I didn't think he was that beloved like this year, but like he's a Cajun. He's one of them. Like it feels like, no, this guy is kind of losing it. It feels like they tried to separate from him, like even representing them a little bit.
I think sometimes I would say like put yourself in the position, try and imagine being on his coaching staff or on his team. And all you see is like you know, that scissor blue shirt, which, okay, that was funny. I'm not saying, like, I saw that and was like, not a leader. I'm not saying that at all.
It was pretty funny.
But there's enough stuff that it's like, I don't know. Is this how?
Yeah,
he started
feeling like he felt a little fluffy with like out backing it up. Like you called the sissy blue shirt, and then your team got their ass kicked by those sissy blue shirts.
Yeah.
I honestly, the moment he got his ass kicked by UCLA, I thought he was in major trouble because of the way that anyone with any juice around that program or Pate, the way that those people would look and talk about UCLA and Chip Kelly. Whether it's fair or not, they would look down upon that program and like what they stand for and just chip the, and then we get shoved around by them. Like that to me was a sin, a football sin that was going to be tough for it. And then the embarrassing part of him, like, and Ed's pumping his chest out. He's walking in the Rose Bowl and then he gets fucking clowned by Chip, who runs a softer offense. Yeah,
look, but they don't this year. Like they run the shit out of the ball this year.
They've always run the ball. I just mean like I just think those guys view like you know, spread running game as like an offense that we should be able to shove around.
I'm not trying to do like I think if we really took you not to back to last year, I think you probably had that thought last year because I know I did. I had the thought last year. I don't think Eddie O is going to be the coach at LSU very long. They went 5-5 last year. That
I know,
was a
but
challenging
it was,
year and all. They went 5-5. Now, they've beaten Florida now at least 2 years in a row because they beat Florida last year. Florida was the number 6 team in the nation when they beat them.
Yeah, I think he owns Florida. He definitely beat them 3 years ago.
Well, last year, Ole Miss, LSU was 53-48.
He has a lot of incredible wins on his resume.
He does. Well, you just play a lot. If you win, if I said you're a 500 SEC coach, you'd be like, well, shit, you must have won some incredible games in some incredible places. Got fired after 3 years because you only went 500, but holy smokes, you probably beat some good teams and good coaches.
Well, you probably, if you last 5 or 6 years in the SEC, you probably knock off a top 10 team.
Yeah.
Right.
So here comes Lane now, to me, if you're a sports fan, if you care 10% about college football, there was only one thing that you want to have happen this offseason. It's Lane Kiffin takes the LSU coaching job. And they play this week. Lane, who just went out there at Ole Miss, Tennessee, was waving to the fans. They're throwing golf balls at him, mustard bottles. And they won. He went in there and won. Now they're hosting, I would imagine. I mean, they're a top. I think they're ranked 12th today, 12th or 13th in the AP poll. I would imagine
LSU. They're 6-1. If Lane goes 11-1. He's already lost to Bama, so he's already got that game out of the way. I don't know if they play Georgia. Won't he be potentially the number one candidate for LSU?
Well, I think Jimbo might be the number one candidate, depending on...
They just gave him $700 million.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying he's going to take the job. I'm saying if we got LSU's AD's list, I bet, I don't know if he knows. Jimbo was there. I don't know if it's the... Scott Woodward, is he the same AD? But it wouldn't shock me if Jimbo was at the top of his list.
I agree. Yeah. I just don't know if it's possible for him to leave with them. You know, maybe
it
could.
It would be an all-time payout by LSU to pay Eddie O $17 million, to pay whatever buyout is for Jimbo, and then to pay Jimbo more money than A&M's paying him. It'd be like a $160 million investment.
Ole Miss, they play LSU, they get him at home. They go at Auburn. Auburn's not bad. That's going to be a tough game. Liberty joke, actually not a joke.
But they were a 35.5-point favorite this week to somebody and lost.
Okay, with Malik, whatever the quarterback is supposed to be good.
Yeah,
they get A&M at home, then they get Vandy and Mississippi State. Like, more than likely, I would say he's going 10-2, potentially 11-1. And I think if Jimbo's not even possible, it just might be one of those like, hey, listen, I would come, but they paid me so much money, I can't get out of it. I'm stuck here. Fuck, we're pretty good. I think I can just build LSU here. I think that their fan base would just be like, well, let's just hire Lane. We know he works. Here's the thing. I Sark lost this week to Oklahoma State. So no one should be shocked. Like, Sark is a 7-5 coach. Like this,
Oklahoma State's a higher ranked team, too.
I know, but it was in Texas. But it's just... I don't think Texas thinks they should be losing to Oklahoma State, even though you're right.
No, they don't. No, that's a good point.
That I just people are expecting like Sark to be like maybe Lane was the better version of the two of them. Like obviously he's a good coordinator, but he's not a good head coach. And when I say not a good head coach, like he's a solid head coach probably. He's above average, but he's not.
I'd rather have Lane
Sark. I would too. But I
And I think we both would have said that if you had asked that question a year ago.
Do you think Sark's a lock to get a second contract at Texas?
No.
I already
make it to the end of the first.
Is he in trouble right now? Like, are people just thinking,
let's just take stock of how things go at Texas.
Well, yeah, they flip on you fast.
There's no like, no, let's just, you know, let's give it a year. Jed Fish won't win a game at Arizona this year potentially, but that's fine. Let's just, right. That's most places are closer to that. Most places are like, it's only 1 year. Let's just let it play out. Texas is not one of them, and LSU is not one of them either. Who cares that you went 15-0 win the national championship a year and a half?
You do have to appreciate how fucking crazy the SEC is. This guy won a national championship. You were listing off these stats. Can you imagine if a Pac-12 team, a coach was 13-5 against ranked opponents? Like most places, not even Pac-12, ACC, LSU is like, yeah, this guy's done. Get him out. The expectations at like,
which I don't have a problem with, by the way. I would get rid of Ed Orgeron too.
Me too. But I would just say LSU, what Alabama will be for the foreseeable future post Nick, Ohio State. I'd say those three programs. And then Texas thinks they're one of those guys. They're not, but they operate like that because their money's no issue. It's pretty nuts. Like Clay Helton somehow lasted 6 years.
By the way, number one game I got to Game Pass this week. We never do this as a segment because Ravens Chargers, 34-6. That might be Monday morning's Game Pass game.
I just think the Ravens are pretty good. I think
Lamar, 19-27, 167, one touchdown, two picks. It's a weird game.
What was Herbert's line?
22-39, 195, one touchdown, one pick.
I do think West Coast teams, you just, you know, it could happen against a really good team. It could also happen against a bad team. You're just bound to lose that travel game.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the stats going, how did the Ravens score 34 points today?
Wait, did Herbert throw pick sixes or anything?
He had one pick. Let's see. Scoring Latavius, touchdown. Le'Veon, touchdown. Justin Tucker, field goal. Jared Cook, touchdown, failed two-point. Mark Andrews, nine-yard touchdown. Tucker, field goal. Freeman,
I think I knew touchdown. Le'Veon was on the team, but I didn't know he was playing.
That is Latavius and Devontae Murray, right? L. Murray on the Ravens is Latavius?
Yeah, it's Latavius.
Steve on the stream says, you guys were talking about giving out game balls. I saw the Cards owner gave literally one to everyone. Staff, players, game ball.
See, that's my favorite part about game ball. You just make it up. You're like, to the trainer, Billy, what a week he had. He just had his first child. Give him one. And the players are like, woo! If you're giving game balls, that means you've won, and you can say anything in that locker room and get an applause. Anything. Like, we got to give it out for James, the equipment guy. He had all your guys' cleats ready to roll in this snow game. We needed the extra long cleats. He was ready.
Our travel secretary, runway A, was closed. He got us over to runway B.
Give a round of applause.
I did. I was doing a couple weeks ago. You remember when Washington State came to play Cal? Did I tell you this? They landed on the wrong runway in Oakland. Had to take off and then land again on the correct runway. How does that happen? Wow.
That's crazy.
All right. On that note, big week ahead, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us, and adios pelota.
Peace.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.